Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermon-notes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
It's still me. Do you remember the Ed Sullivan Show. Now I'm dating myself. The Ed Sullivan Show, and when they always had the plate spinners on. Yeah, well, I'm spinning some plates today. So what is in a name? Family names are very dear and important and often passed down to many family members. Here is an example.
Welcome to my home. Over here is my brother, Ted, his wife, Melissa, the children, Anita, Diane, and Nick. Over here, my brother, Tommy, his wife, Angie, and the children, Anita, Diane, and Nick. And here, my brother, George, his wife, Frida, and the children, Anita, Diane, and Nick. Tati.
So, Tati.
Nicky. I am God.
So obviously Nick was a very important name in that family because it was passed down. We've all heard so many stories about names and origins of names. Throughout history, the name Mary has been a name of honor. Mary is often translated as bitter in Hebrew, which really doesn't fit our sentiments about the name Mary at all. More than likely, our New Testament Marys were named after Moses' sister, Miriam. And because Moses' sister, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses were born in Egypt, more than likely these names are Egyptian. Mary in Egyptian means beloved. And Yah in Hebrew is a form for God. So Miriam would mean beloved of God. In the New Testament, Aramaic was the primary language, and Mary in Aramaic would have been Miriam, which means enlightened one, or literally light giver. How appropriate is that name to all of the Marys that we will talk about today and to our own quests to be followers who want to shine light in this world. The name Mary is so popular that sometimes in one family, I know Meryl Streep said this one time in an interview, that all of the women in the family were named some form of Mary. We all know Marys. I had a wonderful dear Aunt Mary, and I had my best friend in first grade. Her name was Mary Klein. I went to high school with Mary. Unfortunately, her last name was Christmas. Merry Christmas. I am not kidding. Her name was Merry Christmas. I'm like, I hope she got married. So today we're focusing on four Marys in the New Testament. We will hear about them all through our readers. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am no theologian. I am no professor. I don't claim to be a great teacher. Today, let's just allow God's word to work in our own minds and hearts. I hope to be able to help connect and ask questions so that this time together can be encouraging and thought-provoking to you. As you discover these Marys, or maybe rediscover them, I encourage you to identify with their stories. What is their relationship to Jesus? How do their relationships with Jesus differ? How are they similar? Do you personally find a connection with any one Mary? Okay, please bear in mind, this is a service on Mother's Day, and we're talking about four women, and I'm a woman. But remember, this message and time of reflection applies to us all. Amen. We're going to sing a song before each of the Mary readings, and hopefully this song connects us to their purpose and calling in the scriptures. on this Mother's Day as we worship God and his connection and involvement with women in the Bible, let's open our hearts to their relationship to God and how we can learn from these interactions. God amazingly uses us all in his plan.
Good morning. Just a little fun fact about Mary of Bethany. She's a sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary and her siblings appear to have been close friends of Jesus, whom he visited several times. Mary was very devoted to Jesus, anointed Jesus' head and feet with very costly oil, wiping his feet with her hair. Mary enjoyed listening to Jesus' teaching over her duties as a host in the home, much to Martha's dismay. Luke 10:39-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." John 11:1-5, then 17-44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him? See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his feet and hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. John 12, 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. As Emily had asked me to read this, if I'm being honest, I see myself more as Martha. You know, I'm the one that's want to have see everything is in place and want to have everything prepared and, you know, but I do see with Mary, I see myself in that, you know, whenever I'm going through stuff, you know, Jesus is always welcoming through reading his word. I feel his embrace through prayer, through reading his word, and through his love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I imagine that it took a long time for Mary to get to those feelings. She was so young when she learned that as someone that was betrothed to Joseph, engaged to be married in a small rural town called Nazareth, that she had been chosen by God to conceive Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That would be quite surprising. And then to carry that out and be considered the Virgin Mary of Jesus and to be the only provider of human DNA to him and to have contributed to the humanity of God and the participation of his birth. Soon after Jesus was born, she followed through on her responsibilities and presented him in the temple according to Jewish law, along with what I'm sure were all of the other responsibilities of motherhood, raising him and taking care of him. When Jesus was 12, though, we know this story that Mary and Joseph panicked and were annoyed with him simultaneously. Because Jesus was lost, because he had stayed behind at the temple in Jerusalem talking to the rabbis. Any parents in this room know that simultaneous feeling if you've ever lost your child. I wouldn't have ever done that, but maybe some of you have. And then we know the story at the wedding of Cana where Mary goes to him and asks him to conduct a miracle, and he says it's not my time, and she says, oh, just listen to him, to the servants, and he follows what she asks, and then we're carried from that moment to her and the other Marys at the feet of the cross, at her son's crucifixion, and then beyond to the day of Pentecost with the disciples. Let's begin. Luke 1:26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Luke 2:41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. John 2:1-11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
About the other Mary. Other Mary is the mother of Joseph and James the Less, otherwise known as James, son of Alphaeus, an apostle of Jesus. Mary was one of the 3 Marys at Jesus' crucifixion. She's called Other Mary to differentiate from Mary, mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. Mary and Mary Magdalene were also at Jesus' tomb when he was buried. Mary went to Jesus' tomb on the 3rd day after his death to anoint his body with spices, but found out he has risen. He is the wife of Cleopas, or Cleopas, who is believed to have seen Jesus on the road to Emmaus.
It is believed that Clopas was the same as Cleopas. Clopas was perhaps his Greek name, and Alpheus his Aramaic name. So James, the disciple of Jesus, the son of Alpheus, is his son with other Mary. Mark 15:37-41. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Matthew 27:56-61. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for his body, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. After the Sabbath, this is Matthew 28:1-10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guests were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So I have to share, you know, what I share with the other Mary. So Ngozi is the most popular Igbo name for a girl that you will ever see. So when I used to answer, if I call you, I say, "This is Ngozi Kanu." And some people, "I don't know any other Ngozi." I'm like, okay. So this Mary shares her name with so many Marys, and she's always the other Mary. So, like I was the other Ngozi, you know. That I share with her, but the other thing I share with Mary, the other Mary, is that she's always there. She never said a word. Everywhere you go, she's there. She follows them. There's Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of Jesus, this Mary, that Mary. She's always there, but she never said a word. One thing I don't share with her, I will be everywhere, but you will hear my voice.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an overview of Mary Magdalene. She is from Magdala, a prosperous fishing village on the western shore of Sea of Galilee. She had seven demons cast out of her by Jesus. Mark verse 7, chapter 7, verse 9, and Luke chapter 8, verse 2. She is one of Jesus' most loyal followers and supporters. She was on the three Mary Jesus' crucifixion. Mary Magdalene was the first to see Jesus after his resurrection. Luke 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were dead with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were there helping to support them out of their own means. John 20, 1-2, 11-18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. What we do know where they have put him." Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in the white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So after reading this year, I had to come out with something that made me a little bit close to Mary Magdalene. And I just read it. I'm going to read from here because it's easier. Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her. And the scripture doesn't tell us exactly what they look like. But I know they were real, they were heavy, and they took over her life until Jesus set her free. And while I may not face this kind of spiritual oppression, she did, we as a mom face many battles of our own. The guilt that tells us that we're never doing enough, the comparison that makes us feel that we're always behind other moms, especially in social media, the exhaustion that sleep doesn't fix, won't ever fix, ever, ever. The anxiety of constantly questioning if I am making the right choices, and the quiet loss of myself in the middle of caring everyone else. Most people don't see it. They won't just see the showing up, the smiling, the working it, and the carry, keep everything moving. But Jesus sees it all. What moves me about Mary Magdalene is that after Jesus had her free, she stayed close to him. She didn't hide her past. She lived from the freedom. And I feel like this is still an invitation for all of moms. Don't you pretend that we have all together, because we don't. But to keep bringing the unseen battles to the one who always sees it all.
What a lovely time together. Thank you to all of these wonderful women who shared their voices with us and their hearts with us. Thank you to the praise team for sticking with me and standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you, Corrine, for that absolutely beautiful prayer, so heartfelt. I like to study people in the Bible because it helps me to relate to them in a personal way. I find character studies very interesting. I guess that's the actor in me. I like stories and movies that are mainly character-driven, so don't take me to see a James Bond movie, please. They're just doing stuff. Okay. I'm always interested in what motivates a person and how they react in certain circumstances. This is why I've done studies on different people in the Bible. All through these Mother's Days, we've studied different women. And again today, I'm focusing on these Marys in the Scripture. I hope that these few minutes and through these readings that you all have been thinking about these different Marys and what you can learn from their relationship to Jesus, and if you can even identify with any or maybe even all of the Marys. So, who were these women in relationship to Jesus? Okay, now these are just my opinions. Mary of Bethany. I feel like she was a dear friend, you know, kind of friend you want to spend time with where you don't have to be on, you know. Jesus didn't have to be a teacher, although he was teaching around Mary of Bethany. But maybe Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus could sort of let his hair down a little bit more. Maybe Jesus was not necessarily always with his disciples, or maybe he was just sometimes with just Lazarus and Martha and Mary. We can gather that Jesus' love for Lazarus, Martha, and Mary was very, very deep, almost like a closer family friend. Or as I like to say sometimes, we have chosen family, right? That kind of friend. Mary, the mother of Jesus, well, she was mom. She was mom. She knew her son was from God. Oh, I cannot even imagine how she felt about that. I mean, really, seriously. That's huge. Mary did do the mom thing, though. She was grounded in Scripture by her responses to the news that she would give birth to Jesus. She quoted in that prayer that we sang, that was something like the prayer that Hannah had prayed when she found out that she was pregnant with Samuel. So Mary was very grounded in the Scripture. She obeyed all of the Jewish rules of law. She went to the temple with Jesus when he was first born, maybe for his naming, maybe that was a bris. Every Passover went to Jerusalem. We know the story about how Jesus got lost. And she was a mom that sort of pushed Jesus, like some moms have to do sometimes, for that first miracle. And she stayed by his side till the very end, and even after that, because we read about her being there in the room on the day of Pentecost. Now, the other Mary, did she have like a jersey that said, Other Mary? You know, I don't know. She was constant. She was a devoted follower. We don't really hear her say anything, like Ngozi said, but she was always there in so many instances. She was ready to help and simply just show up for Jesus in life and in death. Mary Magdalene was indebted to Jesus and loved him in a very special way because of how he healed her. She was a constant presence with the apostles in the travels and was a supporter of Jesus's ministry. I look at her as like a female best buddy of Jesus. So what are the similarities in all of these Marys? Well, they were constantly devoted to Jesus and his work and his personal life. They obviously saw Jesus for who he was, the long-awaited Messiah. They were the ones at the foot of the cross through all of that death. I wonder where the men were at the foot of the cross. Were they just sort of farther away? I don't know, but these women were right there, and that would have been quite traumatic. These women served him, they all fed him, they anointed him, encouraged him, cared for him in life and in death. And Jesus appeared first to these women. They all gave their lives to Jesus in acts of service and in their heart of hearts. So now I ask you, which Mary are you? Okay, off the top of my head, Other Mary, I'm Other Mary. I can show up and do what's needed. I don't really need to do anything great, but I'm there because I would just want to be close to Jesus. There's a lot to be said for being there and showing up. Am I right? But, could be Mary Magdalene. A bit of a leader and a supporter among the followers of Jesus. And again, always just showing up and being there when needed. Like Mary Magdalene, healed from demons, I am ever grateful for Jesus' presence in my life and the healing that he has done in me. I could be Mary of Bethany, who wanted to be with Jesus to hear his teachings. And I could see myself, given the opportunity, anointing Jesus' feet because of my sincere love and wanting to honor Jesus in a most humble and glorifying way. Have you ever thought, like, what if Jesus just showed up? What would you do? Well, I would just fall down. I would fall down on my face and just, I wouldn't know what to do. So I think maybe my next step would have been to break that perfume jar and anoint his feet, something that drastic and that amazing, that you would have to do something so amazing if you saw Jesus. And I suppose I could be Mary, the mother of Jesus, too. I can identify with her. She accepted what was thrown at her. She just accepted it. She was 13 years old, and she just accepted what God threw at her. And she, along with Joseph, ushered in the human form of God in this world. We try and deal with what we are given usually, right? Mary was a thoughtful and law-abiding caregiver to Jesus. She knew his gifts and prompted him to start using his gifts. In life, in death, and in future missions, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Now that I think more about it, I guess I can see myself a little bit in all of the Marys. Can you? What would be your relationship to an earthly Jesus? How can you manifest an earthly relationship with Jesus today? Jesus met these women where they were and according to their personalities, their abilities, their needs, and their potential. Jesus spoke and treated all who interacted with him according to their desires and their understanding. Jesus and God still interact with us on that same level. We need to be aware of God's involvement in our lives. Yes, it's easier said than done. But sometimes you just have to be still and know that he is God.